This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Ed Damiano is an assistant professor of biomedical engineering at Boston University. When his son David was just 11 months old, Damiano was doing something a lot of parents of infants have to do. He was frequently waking up at night to check on his son.
But it wasn't because little David wasn't sleeping. It was because David has type 1 diabetes.
And that meant checking blood sugars through the night. Typically, we were checking David 12 to 15 times a day when he was really little.
Checking meant giving infant David a finger prick for a blood sample and an insulin shot or a bit of juice if his blood sugar level wasn't quite right. And as Damiano says, those sleepless nights were rough going, but absolutely essential to protect David's health.
The first and foremost concern among parents of children with type 1 diabetes is low blood sugar at night. I mean, it can lead to seizure and it can lead to death if the blood sugars are very, very low for too long a period of time.
But remember how we said that Ed Damiano is a professor of biomedical engineering? Well, he and his team have invented what's being called a bionic pancreas, a combination pump, monitor, and iPhone app that automatically tests blood sugar and delivers insulin and glucagon hundreds of times a day.
The team recently completed its first clinical trials on human patients, and the results are promising. So promising that some experts are wondering if the technology could dramatically change the lives of the 2 million Americans who currently live with type 1 diabetes.
We spoke to Damiano and his co-researcher Stephen Russell, an endocrinologist at Massachusetts General Hospital, a little earlier today, and we started by asking Dr. Russell to describe what patients are actually wearing when they put on the bionic pancreas.
They're wearing several components. They wear a continuous glucose monitor sensor, which is attached to their skin and has a little wire that goes underneath the skin and samples the glucose in the fluid between the cells. It transmits that information to an iPhone, which is running the bionic pancreas app. That app makes decisions about dosing of insulin and glucagon, and it sends commands to two insulin pumps, one of which we've repurposed to deliver glucagon. And they give that drug through a tiny catheter that goes just underneath the skin. And that cycle repeats every 5 minutes, 24 hours a day, to control the blood sugar.
So this is the big breakthrough then, because diabetics or people who have diabetics in their families, type 1 diabetes we're talking about here, know very well that management of their disease takes a lot of hands-on work, you know, the testing the blood sugar with the finger prick and, you know, possibly having to give insulin depending on what the results are. And it sounds like the big breakthrough here is that all of that hands-on work is now automated.
That's right. There is much less to do when somebody wears a bionic pancreas. And the system is taking many more actions to regulate the blood sugar. Even people who test very frequently, 12 or 15 times a day, and make adjustments are still monitoring the glucose and taking action relatively infrequently compared to the bionic pancreas, which makes 288 decisions a day, every 5 minutes throughout the day and night, including when the patient is sleeping. There's no way that they could monitor it close enough to get the kind of control that the bionic pancreas is able to do.
I see. And Ed, what were the actual results in terms of the glucose levels in the teens and adults who were in this trial?
The device exceeded our expectations in its performance. The average glucose levels we achieved in both adults and adolescents brought the entire cohort into levels that were below, in fact, even better than the goal for therapy that the American Diabetes Association sets for those two age groups. And the amazing thing is it did that while at the same time reducing episodes of hypoglycemia or low blood sugar. So the challenge has always been with diabetes that if you try to give insulin to bring blood sugars to the near normal range, as you do that, you increase the risk of episodes of hypoglycemia or low blood sugar.
Mm.
And the device is actually able to reduce both.
Right. So we should also be clear here and say that in this first trial, the teens who were in the trial, they were getting constant medical monitoring from medical professionals as well, because they were basically in a summer camp that was specifically designed for this. And the adults as well were getting constant medical monitoring from medical professionals 24/7 in case something went wrong with the new bionic pancreas.
That's correct. And it also allowed us to get a lot of information about the performance of the bionic pancreas and some information about the way the participants in the trials interacted with the bionic pancreas.
Well, tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, did they like having to not worry so much about constant monitoring? Was it liberating for them?
They liked it very much, and I think liberating is the right word. Many of them said things like, I was spending half of my brain thinking about my diabetes all the time, and it was like having a burden lifted to not have to think about it for a few days. Another subject said, I want my spouse to see me now because this is what I'm really like. And I just never feel like I can be myself when I'm constantly worrying about my blood sugar and taking actions to regulate my blood sugar. Mm-hmm. And people talked about being able to eat foods that they would ordinarily avoid because of the concerns of what it would do to their blood glucose, how hard it would be to regulate that. And many of the participants in the study expressed a great deal of unwillingness to give the device back at the end of the experimental period.
You know, I know some folks who have had type 1 diabetes for years and years and years, and one thing which they expressed a little bit of caution about links back to what you were saying a little earlier, Dr. Russell, that the bionic pancreas is monitoring blood sugar hundreds of times a day, and it's doing it automatically. And someone I spoke to said, you know, on the one hand, that's great, but on the other hand, she felt a little bit reluctant to give up that active monitoring that she could oversee, and she could also sort of compare what, you know, her blood sugar tests say in comparison to how she's actually feeling. And there was something about being an active part of her own care that she didn't necessarily want to let go.
You know, being an active participant in your own care is a survival skill in people with type 1 diabetes, and it is something that's reinforced over years of dealing with the disease. And we know that they want to know what's going on. So the display of the device shows their blood glucose over the last 6 hours.
And this is the display on the iPhone app?
Yes, display on the iPhone app shows what their current blood glucose is, their blood glucose over the last 6 hours. It shows every dose of insulin or glucagon that the bionic pancreas is giving. And we also give them some options. For instance, they can choose to either let the bionic pancreas automatically control changes in blood sugar that come from meals, or they can announce to the bionic pancreas that they're about to eat a meal, and they can tell it roughly how large it is. They don't need to count the carbohydrates down to the gram as people do now. They just need to say whether it's a snack or a smaller than typical meal or a typical or a larger than typical meal. And the bionic pancreas will learn what that means for them and give a part of the insulin for that. Mm. But that's not necessary. And in fact, in our study, participants did it about 70% of the time and forgot or chose not to announce the meals about 30% of the time.
So I should mention that a lot of our subjects were really well controlled under their own care. In terms of their diabetes management, they were very conscientious. And still, the bionic pancreas performed better than they could. But the fact is that you could watch it happen over the course of a short study like this. Just over 5 days, you could see this transformation in their thinking about, from the one hand, wanting to continue to hang on to and exercise control, to this transformative thinking of, my goodness, I don't need to anymore. I don't need to think about this all the time. I can just be relieved of all that. And so it was an evolving process.
Right.
You can only really go through unless you wear the device.
Right. And Dr. Russell, I understand that just this afternoon or a little later today, you're going to kick off a new round of testing, right? That's going to sort of take this further into the real lives of people. What's this new round going to include?
We are going to be giving the bionic pancreas device to people with type 1 diabetes and sending them home to live their lives as they ordinarily do for 11 days with no supervision. And then we're going to compare that to 11 days of monitoring them in a blinded fashion. So we'll have them wearing a continuous glucose monitor, but they won't see the results. And all that's required is that they live within a 30-minute drive of one of the four centers, and that during this trial, they stay within a 60-minute drive. They'll be able to go to work as usual, do whatever leisure activities they do. They'll be able to drive a car on the bionic pancreas. And we really won't have any interaction with them until they bring it back 11 days later. So this is a true real-world experience with the bionic pancreas device, and we're very eager to see what the results are.
Yeah. And finally, Ed, you know, we began by talking about your son, David, and I understand that you would love to get the bionic pancreas FDA approved before David goes off to college in the next 3 years or so. What does he think about all of this? Because this could potentially, if the research goes as it's been going and you do get that FDA approval, It could totally change his life.
Yeah. I would say on the one hand, he seems to take it a bit for granted, which is good. I want him to, you know, I take my pancreas for granted. I've got to admit to that. And, you know, I want David to be able to be in a situation like that one day. But at least, at the very least, I want him to be in a situation until that time comes that he's got a system that he can really feel confident in, that's looking over his shoulder, as I do, as his mom does. We are there to help him out while he's with us in our house under our roof. But when he goes off to college, he's got so many challenges that every other young person has when they go off to college. But most of them, the vast majority of them, don't have this burden. And to send him off to college with a device like this would just lift so much of that off his shoulders.
Well, Ed Damiano is an associate professor of biomedical engineering at Boston University. Ed, thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
And Stephen Russell is an endocrinologist at Massachusetts General Hospital. Stephen, thank you to you as well.
I enjoyed talking with you, Magna. Thank you.
We've got a link to their research on the bionic pancreas at our website, radioboston.org.
And that's it. Radio Boston's a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. And be sure to check out radioboston.org for that complete list of great summer reads. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.